hostesses with the mostesses.
Your favorite living gal pals.
Miss Avocado.
And Wanda Gag.
Joining us today on the pod is the cartoon character of the Twin Cities. Please welcome Pippin Panic.
Hello.
So real quick for everyone here, what are your pronouns in and out of drag?
My pronouns out of drag are he, him, and my pronouns in drag are he, it.
Slay.
Work. Okay. And how long have you been doing drag?
Drag for drag's sake, I've been doing it since last June. Okay. Drag Duels season one was like my first actual, like, I'm going to do drag moment.
Period. I was going to say, because you in panic, or you in pain. Wow.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Everybody's done it at least once.
That's okay. They do it. We get mixed up as well.
Yeah, no, don't you worry.
When it comes to a duo, you're just the duo.
It's
the
funny.
Duo. Yeah. So yeah, you and Payne did Drag Duels last year, and you did very well, as I remember.
I think we did pretty darn well. We went out with a bang. We won our, like, it was like week four, we won the challenge, and then unfortunately Payne succumbed to being disabled, so we had to drop out.
It do be like that sometimes.
Sometimes you're just like, wait a minute. I can't do this.
Yeah. No, it's a very taxing competition.
Oh, it is. And plus, I was kind of managing more financial aspects. It was just like I was in the hole, essentially, all of last summer. And Payne was out picking corn for money. And
picking corn?
Yeah, literally out in the fields, picking corn.
Oh, goodness.
That sounds kind of therapeutic, like, a little bit.
Yeah, it does, until the sunburn sets in.
Yeah. Where did you get your drag name, by the way?
I chose Pippin Cherry in college. I was like, I want to be...
I love that.
Pippin Cherry, I want to do this. I want to be big artist, big man, super sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of like lived with that name for a little while. And I didn't actually like perform. I was just like, this would be my name.
Mm-hmm.
But once I started performing, I was like, I'm not sexy. I don't really want to do that. So, and then we figured Pain and Panic would be fun. So I like as a duo name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm Pippin Panic now.
Pippin,
period. Yeah. And then you prefer to be called Panic nowadays.
Yes.
Stepping away from the Pippin.
Pippin is for like people who don't know me, and then when you get to know me, you know that I like Panic, and that's how I know like we're true friends.
So what kind of performances can we expect to see from you in a typical show? Like what would we see?
That's a great question. I like to be the one person who, like, a lot of my friends have told me, like, we're not drag-oriented, but when we see your drag, we get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's what I like to bring, something different to complement the other performers and also mix up numbers that you remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, making a statement, you're kind of like a utility player, mm-hmm. a bit. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That makes me very happy. I enjoy giving producers what they're looking for in a show in a way they don't expect.
Period.
Love that. Because, you did the candy theme. You were at the candy show at Can Can Wonderland.
Yeah.
And you did the Mike and Ike number with Quintessential. Where did the inspiration for that number come from, for example?
We said... what candy are we gonna do? We wanted to do a duet for months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love duets. I'm a huge, huge fan of duets. I love collaboration with other artists. And so, we finally ended up in a show together because Quinn produces all his own shows and he's like on the road a whole lot.
Yeah.
So when we finally got cast in a show together, and it took months, mm-hmm. we were like, well, we have to do something candy related. And then he was like, I don't know, Mike and Ike. And then we ran with it.
I love that. Okay.
That's smart, though. Two kings, Mike and Ike.
Yeah, exactly. It was a really good idea. And then I came up with the idea to glue the candy onto our clothes. I sprayed them with like a car varnish sealant.
Oh.
So like, I sprayed them, let them dry, sprayed them again, let them dry, and then I glued them on with epoxy, so my cats wouldn't eat it.
Smart.
And so they wouldn't melt. So, and I can also like kneel on top of them and they don't like crush.
Oh, smart.
Very smart. Oh, cause now they've got
now they're fucking indestructible, Mike and Ike.
Car enamel. I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna use that for wigs.
Hell yeah!
Something. Oh, that's smart.
Just, I need something rock solid.
Well, and they come in like matte.
Slay.
Yeah, so you can do that, and then they're never fucking moving again.
Yeah.
I
you like
wigs.
Come up and you're like dunk dunk.
Now I can finally do dips without worry.
Oh, hell yeah.
You don't have to do a dip, though.
Except if it comes off.
I will not do a dip, but if I had to.
If it comes off, it'd be like a structure.
It flies off and you just hear...
Who are some people you've been wanting to collaborate with? Also, because you were talking about Quinn. Who else is on your list?
Everybody. I know that, like...
Okay. Okay. Wait. What
like,
you
don't like duos.
On?
Have you met me?
Yeah. I can fix it.
I can fix him. It's a fun thing to do is, like, my, like, Payne and Boy Givault, we did the same duet, but they did it in different ways.
Okay.
We did Scarecrow and Tin Man, where...
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We opened with If I Only Had a Brain into If I Only Had a Heart, and then If I Didn't Have You from Monsters, Inc.
Oh, that's cute.
And that's cute. So, like, I wrote the mix. I made the costumes because I was, like, it was my gig. I was being paid for the gig. But I also, like, my family members, I'm like, you're coming with me. So, like, I can give you as much exposure as possible. And also, I like doing duos. So, like, best of both worlds. But I really like building an act and then having, like, you know, writing a musical, tiny musical. And
yeah.
Then, like, here is your part. Do what you want with it.
That's cute.
I like that.
I like it too.
So you actually have this really interesting drag family. And I like to compare it to, like, a little D&D party almost.
Yeah. It's not the House of Hades.
Because it's not, like, yes. A traditional drag family where it's, like, a hierarchy or anything. So, like, tell us more about the House of Hades and, like, how y'all came to be.
Well, I think first I decided I didn't want to be a father of anything. I felt like I was in a place where I could help. Like, I am further up in the food chain of Minneapolis and Twin Cities drag than anybody else in my little family.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were structuring it, they were like, I want to get into drag, but, like, I'm socially anxious. I'm disabled. I have accessibility issues. I don't have a lot of money. And I was like, well, I can give you these resources and then I will bring you with me.
Yeah.
It's like when I produced my first show at Lush, immediately I was like, well, my family is going to be part of that because that's, you know, I'm very, very community oriented. And my, all of the people in my house are people I've known for multiple years.
Okay.
They're people who I view as somebody who I am happy to take care of and provide for. But they're not like, I'm not going to be Cerberus's father. That's weird.
Yeah.
Just his daddy.
No. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But because we all have, like, they're not son and daughter roles, especially since my house is very, it's not really gender oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have titles. Our Boy Givald is the boy. Chaos. Primordial Chaos is the scribe. The boy is because he is the, like, the last person to be, like, adopted into the family. That's why he's the boy. The Chaos is the scribe because they prefer managerial and stage tech roles.
Okay.
But they also, like, do stage stuff. And then Dementia Kills is the imp because they're just a little creature. Like, they're the tiniest. Every single person in our entire family has been like, oh, I pick you up. I put you somewhere else. They are little, and they also, we work together at Escape the Room.
So oh, yeah, yeah.
We have two shifts a week together and, you know, multiple hours. And so you get a really nice familial bond. Payne is the twin because...
Yeah,
right. Cerberus the hound because... I don't know, this is badass.
Bark, bark.
And also bark. And it also helps with the House of Hades because Cerberus is... And then... I think that's all of them.
And what are you?
What are you?
Oh, I'm the Godfather.
That's the Godfather. The Godfather provides.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I thought
that. A man provides for his family. Because he's a man.
So you are actually very well known in the internet as a cosplayer, and you have a huge following on TikTok and Instagram. How did that start, and what's it like having so many people just, you know who you are and engage
and gravitate
with your content?
Towards you on for your content?
Yeah.
It's terrifying. I'm scared of them. But, I'm extremely fond of the people who like my content. It started as a joke.
As all things do.
Yes, I started basically as a joke in, like, 2018, 2017. And I made South Park content.
Period. Now, wait. Like, what kind of South Park
like,
content?
Like, I dressed up like Kenny and Butters and Kyle, and I made like music videos and stuff.
Slay. I love that. Okay. And you did it as a joke at first?
Or? I did it as a joke at first, and then I discovered I really, really liked it. Because I was already a cosplayer at that point for fun. I'd been a cosplayer for multiple years. And so I made it as a joke for me and my friends. And then I did probably about a year into making like content just for fun and for my friends. I made, I started making content for Robbie Rotten from LazyTown. And it happened to be the month before the We Are Number One meme took off. So I like to think I'm responsible. But essentially, I started making videos and memes and stuff. They started blowing up. And then the actor who plays Robbie Rotten came forward and was like, I have inoperable cancer and I'm going to die.
Oh my god!
And then all of a sudden, Robbie Rotten was everywhere, yeah. And yeah. We Are Number One was everywhere, and suddenly everyone was looking at me and going, and this is the part that like fucked me up was everybody was going, you are making fun of Robbie Rotten. You think this is a joke? You are like, this is nothing like this. What the actor would have wanted? You are cringe. You are like, I fucking hate this guy. I got put on so many cringe channels, dozens upon dozens of like people reposted my videos. And then that sent people to my profile, basically coming and saying like, I don't know, you know, normal internet drivel, yeah. Kill yourself. Yeah. Here's how to kill yourself. They Jesus. Contacted my family. They called me at my work.
Oh my
God. That's fucked up.
They put me in YouTube compilations. My friends would constantly send me links to things being like, hey, you're in this. And I'd be like, no. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. But it was, and that was also the month I started college. So.
That's a lot.
It was thousands and thousands, like 15,000 people looking at my Instagram story. Yeah. Like, you know, my follower count started going up by, you know, tens of thousands every day because people were making fun of me. And it was like this huge, big, like We Are Number One was coupled with like the worst bullying you've ever seen imaginable.
I believe that.
But I just kind of kept making content. Honestly, I put my nose to the grindstone and I was making two videos a day.
Wow.
In like full cosplay, and like I paid attention to things that were relevant, and I used the information I could to like stay on top of the algorithm and stuff like that, and it worked. And then people started to finally realize, like, what if cringe is okay?
What if this is earnest and it's fine?
What if he wasn't making fun of him and he's just like that? Yeah. And I was. So then people started sticking around, and like less people started making fun of, this took multiple months, but like
I believe that, yeah.
Over a couple of years it was less people making fun of me, and people just being like, I like your content, you know, that I dress like Thomas the Tank Engine and Swiper the Fox and Baymax from Big Hero 6 and Wendy from Wendy's
period.
Wendy from Wendy's.
Yeah, that was the beginning, but coming up to now, it's exactly. People in the drag community, especially locally, don't like that I have a lot of followers, and it makes it very hard to navigate.
I forget you have the followers, honestly. I just,
well, that's nice.
I'm just like, they're just a little guy that lives in the area.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So I honestly forget about it, but well, I did find it interesting as I did my research.
And you know, it's jealousy.
It is jealousy.
It's exclusively jealousy.
It's gotta be. I know it's exclusively jealousy, but it makes me so sad.
It doesn't make it easier.
Because it's like, I didn't do anything.
You didn't!
But like,
on the internet.
I don't want to make it like, oh, I'm popular and it sucks. You know, I go into a Hot Topic and I get stopped and a line forms. Like, it's very, it's very cool. It's flattering and it's nice, and it's a lot of people, like, it's a lot of people who look like I did when I was a teenager, saying like, you are who encourages me to be myself.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what all I do is be myself. and so having people say like, you being you gives me comfort to be me.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's worth it.
That's
period.
Why, yeah. Yeah. Well, especially when it's young people, because it's like when I was growing up, I didn't have anybody like me to look at.
Real.
And so now like, it's awesome, but it's also just a lot of jealousy, especially people like on social media, you know, when you see people all gather to share posts and to tag people and stuff and to like or comment or make little communities around each other's social media. I don't really have that because I just feel like people are like, well, you have the numbers. I don't need to pay attention to you.
No.
And it's not really about...
It's not about
numbers.
That.
Well, to me, it's just like the numbers came because I worked really hard.
Mm-hmm. And you were being authentic and doing
And I was
thing.
Just kind of making stuff I wanted to... Making art and then showing people art and saying, like, look at this stupid shit. Wow. And,
yeah.
And so it's hard to navigate people just being like, well, you got lucky. Or, like, I want what you want. So I'm not going to encourage whatever you're doing because I want to do it. But I also understand.
I don't know. It sucks. It's just a lot of, especially here in the Twin Cities, it's a bit of a dog-eat-dog world here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, people kind of generally, like, get into these clusters where they don't, like... It's an echo chamber, so they don't really get outside of these clusters and actually just talk to people.
I would love to do that more.
Could simply talk to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also have, like, major conversational, like, if I say the wrong sentence to you, I'm like, well, our relationship is ruined.
No, me too. I feel you.
Like, I got home the other day, and I was like, so, during our conversation, like, talking to my partner, I was like, did I say everything right in the last conversation that we had? Do you think I said anything wrong? And he was like, I don't pay attention to how you talk like that. I'm not logging every sentence you have into, like, was this a right thing to say or a wrong thing to say? And I'm like, well, I do. I need everybody to be my friend.
I think that's
that is my fatal flaw.
The worst part, social anxiety in general is just like convincing yourself that, yes, I'm a little crazy. And that's okay. So I just don't have to listen to that. And like, it's really fucking hard to not.
Yeah.
Because after, I don't know. Yeah, same thing. After every conversation, I'm like, was I weird?
But, must have been the worst.
So, but like when I did this slight inflection in my voice, did that come across?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
No, totally. It really gets me. And I have, like, my criticisms of people, and I have my feelings about people. But I feel like if I am nice all the time, people are like, oh, well, you had a bad opinion once, so you're two-faced. I know a lot of people talk about that, like, in different, like, communities, and, it, like, people being two-faced of, like, oh, they say such and such, but they're nice to your face. And it's like, I can't be mean to people's face. I don't like that.
It's a hard thing to navigate, especially in the entertainment world, when we're all entertainers. We all have opinions about each other.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And, like, the only fake thing is to say that you don't have opinions about other people. I don't pay attention to other people. I just stay on my grind. I just think about myself and what I'm doing. That's a lie. A dirty fucking lie. We're always, like, thinking about each other and thinking about how we can do better and how other people can do better. And sometimes that comes off as bitchiness because some people are bitchy.
Yeah.
But, like...
But sometimes, is it productive to even tell someone, like, I don't like that you do that? Like, how is that helping?
Right. I don't view it... Unless you ask me for specific criticism about a specific number, I'm not going to tell you what I think.
Yeah.
I don't need to.
And maybe this is the flip side. Like, you could just, like, walk up to somebody and be like, I don't like that you do this. Like,
and then you're an asshole.
What kind of fucking conversation would that be? Like,
So
I don't know.
Maybe I have opinions.
There's a difference between being real and being rude.
Yeah. Well, exactly. So. Well, that's when people are like, I'm honest. I always tell the truth. I never lie.
And it's
like,
and
just
mean.
Say you're rude.
Yeah.
Just say you're a bitch.
Yeah. Well, like, honesty, I think, I forget what piece of media I watched that was like trying to like tout this in relation of truth and like being like, too honest.
Yeah.
I think it was The Invention of Lying, maybe. It's like it's a rom-com from like 2005, don't put you, or some other time. Anyways, like.
Well, if it made you think, it made you think.
It's a world in which, like, you know, everybody says the honest truth always, every single time. So like, if they're thinking it, they just say it.
Yeah.
So they're just like, hi, I hate your fucking jacket. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I do love your jacket. That's a lie. So,
she hates my jacket.
I don't hate your jacket! No, but, like, it's shit like that. So, like, you could go around the world being a fucking asshole and just giving your opinion verbatim. Because right. that's being real or something.
Yeah.
Or you could just be a nice fucking person.
Right.
And keep that shit to yourself because it doesn't matter.
Like, in most cases, I view the drag world as my coworkers.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
I'm like, I'm not going to be fucking mean and rude if I don't like something about you because, I mean, our working relationship going forward is going to suck.
It's
going
to be really not fun.
So, I just prefer to just, like, be nice.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, I don't know if you've ever, I mean, I'm sure you have, like, had people come up to you and just give you an opinion about your drag, and you're just like, I didn't fucking ask you.
I have had people, like, come up and fix my wig, like, without prompting, and I've been like,
it's a weird power move.
Hello?
It's a weird power move. Yeah, like, it's like when a businessman fixes another businessman's tie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little off there, darling.
There's no, like, homoeroticism even.
Exactly. Just...
You're not even gonna finger me a little.
What's the point?
What's the point of this? Yeah.
I'm not queer baited. I'm not stimulated.
Gonna ship this online afterwards? When's that gonna happen?
Not a single person. So wow. What's the point?
So truly. What's the point?
I think I've derailed this a bit.
A little bit.
The question was a big one. Yeah. I think it was just like, just, so how? What's it like?
Being famous.
What's it like being in Pride? You know how, like, walking around, it's like a lazy river where,
oh, yeah,
like,
you
essentially
just
you just
flow.
Get swept. It's a lot of, like, people looking at me for a little bit too long, and then I'm like, oh no!
Oh no!
They're gonna fucking dam up the river.
Look at who I am!
You know, you pass somebody for too long, and they're too young, or they're younger than you, and they look like they have blue hair and pronouns, they know who I am. So, they will be like, oh my god, was that Prince Welcome Matt? And then I'm like, run!
You ever thought about, like, Hannah Montana-ing it?
I did! Oh, yeah. I have pictures. Bo and I dressed up, like, hyper femme, tits out, like...
Period.
Eyebrows here, like, girl voices on, like, fuck it. And we ghosted a convention. Not one person noticed us. But a lot of people hit on us, so, like...
Tit for tat.
No! I didn't like that exchange. It no, wasn't that a good one.
What's better, being famous or being a woman? We'll find out next episode.
You can either be known or be female.
The duality of man.
Wow. Literally. The two genders. Famous and woman. God.
Because you were at a convention recently, right? And mm-hmm. you said you did one day in disguise and you did one not in disguise. Mm-hmm. How was the day not in disguise?
I really, like, I cannot say that, like, I hate people saying I love your work. I feel bad for my friends, kind of, sometimes, because they're all, like, we're standing around having a conversation, and all of a sudden four teenagers are like, oh my god, I followed your TikTok since I was in the womb, and you really affected me. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And my friends will be like, I'm fucking hungry, I want to leave, I want to walk 5 feet without you getting stopped in the middle. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I gotta go. So, like, it's a weird, like, I don't want to be rude to my friends. I don't want to be rude to the little babies. I just want to make everybody happy, and then I get sad.
Oh.
And then I'm like, do they give to go up to my room.
Do they give influencers, like, booths or anything? Or
yeah. If I wanted to, I could, like, call in and be like, you know, hey, I'm Mr. Super Important Guy. Give me my own corner and my own big poster with my face on it, and so I can talk to my fans. But then I don't really like that. Like, I acknowledge I have a lot of, like, I have a big audience, and I acknowledge that, like, I get a lot of likes on Instagram, but I am just a little guy. I don't want to be, like, this important figure that everybody's, like, pointing at, and, you know, I get special attention, and I get a security detail. I just want to be able to go to the convention with my friends, but it's getting to the point where I can't really do that, and it makes me kind of sad, because I'm like, I just want to go to the convention. And have some fun, like I did before, but womp womp.
You're just going to have to become the master of disguise.
It's just, I don't know. It's there's no guidebook.
Yeah.
To, like, how to have influence. Fame. And how to be known.
There certainly are a lot of movies about it, and I can't say that any of them are helpful.
No, not a single one.
They're like, it's a curse and a blessing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so how do we navigate that?
You should write the book, though. Kind of like the guidebook for the dad from Beetlejuice, but it's...
The guidebook to being bullied into being famous.
Real. I'd read it. I'd read it.
It's a lot of... oh my god, oh, here's something funny that happened at a convention. Mm-hmm. I was talking about how people knew me in staff. It was an Anime Detour. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking up like too much time or anything.
I don't think so. Where are we at?
I was going to say, I don't think we've hit a half hour yet.
We're about to.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Actually, let's tell the story after the commercial break.
And now some messages from our sponsors.
And now a word from our original sponsor, Fruity Wigs. Hi, Fruits. It's your hairy diva, Miss Avocado, and Miss Ma'am. Did you know that she's been selling wigs for 3 years, officially? In that time, I've sold wigs to kings, queens, monarchs, and cosplayers all over the country. I've done a variety of styles, from updos, ponies, caged wigs, Marcel waves, to ugly styles. To commission your very own Fruity Wigs, or to see my catalog of styles, follow and message at Fruity Wigs on Instagram. Remember to check my Instagram story for themed flash sales of stage-ready wigs. Lastly, if you've worn a Fruity Wig and would like to be featured on the official Fruity Wigs Instagram, send a message with a picture you love in your Fruity Wig. And now I'm back to your regularly scheduled... Oh, shit, wait, there's another ad. Bye, Fruits!
This episode of the Drag Me With a Spoon podcast is sponsored by Gagworthy Designs. Hi, Gag. It's your girl, Miss Wanda Gag, and Miss Ma'am. Did you hear she's selling costumes now? She's taking orders and serving looks. He gets a costume, she gets a costume, they get a costume, everybody's getting costumes! Commissions are now open, so message us on Instagram at gagworthydesigns or on our website, www.dragmewithaspoon/gagworthydesigns. All right, bye gags! Now back to your featured content.
I'm gonna make a loud noise, I'm telling you that. I can't cheer at crowds.
Okay.
I can't do that.
Oh.
Woo! And then I go.
Oh, you still got the whistle tone?
It ain't going away. It's not going anywhere.
Work.
There are songbirds and there are seagulls.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's me, baby. I'm going to steal your fries.
Anyway, we're back, by the way.
Hello, we're back. So,
keep what you want from that.
We were saying you had a convention story.
Yes. What was the convention story?
Oh, I'll try to go through it, like, super fast.
No, you're fine.
Derail, but...
It's not like this is a podcast about you or something. It is literally about... Yeah, go on.
Okay. So I knew a bunch of the staff members, and I had a staff badge for the con. I was doing a drag show there. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple other panels and stuff like that. And so I go into staff, and I'm like, hey, where's my badge? And they say, well, we don't have it. But we know who you are, so we'll just give you one of ours that we have on hand.
Okay.
So I was like, hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was talking to my friends. We went outside for, like, a smoke or something like that, because I'm friends with older cosplayers, and our social hour is vaping in a circle. I was making a joke. I was using a silly voice and everything. And I was like, wow, if I wanted to start my own, you know, cosplay badge underground, I could just walk in there and be like, I'm on staff. Give me a staff bat. And I'm like, not. And, you know, I just walk around and be like, I belong here. I'm staff. Didn't you hear? Somebody heard me and reported me to the head of registration for fraudulence. And was like, this guy just got a badge he's not supposed to have. And so head of registration comes down and he's looking, you know, looking throughout. I don't know. He's looking for me. Mm-hmm. He comes up behind, taps me on the shoulder and he's like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And like, I turn around and he's like, I heard reports that you had stolen a badge, Matt. And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, hey, Matt. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know it was you. If I'd known it was you, I wouldn't have inspected it in the first place. I was like, hello. Looks at his name tag. James. Wonderful to see you again. So glad we... And he was like, yeah, how's your move been? I know that you've been moving from one apartment to another, and it's been really hard for you. How's that been going? And I've been like, you know, we're just dealing with the punches and rolling with them. And he's like carrying on as if we're old friends. And I have... He's head of registration. And he was like, so yeah, you know what? Why don't I take the badge that you have and I'll go and print a different one for you. And then I'll bring that back to you. So you just stay here. And then he fixed it. And I was like, What just happened?
Sometimes it's good being famous.
My life is kind of crazy.
I wasn't going to start an underground badgering, I promise.
I promise. That's
can't,
wild.
Can't trust
That's
anyone wild. These days. To this day, I don't know who snitched, but I have my theories.
You have your theories?
I have my theories. Mm. There was a guy dressed as Hulk Hogan.
Okay, go on.
Was watching me very closely while we were outside, and I just thought, well, he's Hulk Hogan.
He could have just walked up and been like, is there illegal actions going on, brother?
Hell yeah, brother, I'm starting an underground badger ring. You want in?
I'm going to have to report you to security.
So it's time for the Q&A portion.
Oh boy.
Yes, okay. We had a lot of questions from outside folks, viewers at home. Yeah, just for you. So
I'm going to go through them. The first question is from Boy Gavalt.
Oh boy.
How do you blend both drag and cosplay together?
Thank you, boy.
Thank you, boy. Well, this outfit is actually from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It is Panna Cotta Fugo's outfit.
Panna Cotta?
Yep.
Panna Cotta Fugo.
Like the Italian dessert.
Yes.
Possibly, yeah.
Work.
JoJo's a weird one. Most, I love it.
If you're in JoJo, you're either named after something completely bizarre or a band, like from the 80s, or JoJo.
Or JoJo.
So, yeah, Panna Cotta Fugo is this outfit. It's pretty cool. I bought it on a cosplay website, and then I embellished it.
Slay.
And then I could, like... I really like just taking cosplay items, taking or making cosplays, and then having people, like, doing a performance where people, like, if you know, but you don't need to know for the performance to work.
Right.
Love that.
Well, I mean, they're good pieces. Like, right? This is a well-constructed
garment.
Like,
this garment. Is sexy as hell. Absolutely. And the shoulder pads are awesome.
The
and, like,
cutouts.
Yes.
Period.
I feel great in it. He has some accessories that I chose not to add. I didn't do his, like, hair or his makeup.
I feel like JoJo's got the, like, it's every character has iconic hair.
Right,
some
right,
kind.
Right.
Yeah.
His is, like, blonde, and I could have done it, like, but I just ended up feeling like wearing a helmet today.
Yeah.
But I really like, and like, all of my makeup is reminiscent of, like, JoJo's and Borderlands and, like,
love me some
like the Arkham games. I'm trying to think of, I don't remember the company.
Arkham Asylum? I don't remember. Yeah. I know my brother-in-law loves those. But. In post. Company but. Name here. Pistachio will figure it out.
Oh, no, this one.
I'm going to edit this one.
Oh, you're going to edit this
one. If I can get away with, like, for my Lush show, I did an entirely Breaking Bad-oriented number. Mm-hmm. But, like, you didn't need to have seen Breaking Bad to understand it.
Yes.
I would tell you all that you need to know.
I mean, like, I've never seen Breaking Bad, but I understand they cook meth. One's a disgraced science teacher. Yes, one looks like he's from Mythbusters. And the other one is some kind of former twink. Yeah, I got that.
Former?
Current former transitioning into former.
I'd say active twink, but a lot of my friends are like, I don't know anything about Breaking Bad, but I know a lot about Jesse Pinkman for one specific reason, and that's because I'm around you. And I'm like, thank you, that is my goal.
It's like on social media, you and Cerberus posting the Breaking Bad constantly.
Constantly.
It's a touch of the tism, honestly. We can't like things normally. We
special
have
special interests.
Oh yeah, well, you know. I like showing people something that they're not expecting in a way that's like, I know this could be a reference. And like if you know Panna Cotta Fugo, then you're gonna be like, that's a fucking JoJo costume that you're wearing right now. But like the person at the Sonic had no idea, but she still thought I looked cool.
She looked cool.
Slay.
So that's kind of my, like, if you know, you know, and it'll make it better, but it won't make it worse if you don't know.
Love that. Your local shapeshifter asks, what inspired you to start drag?
Oh, I love your local shapeshifter. They're really active in my, they like my story a lot.
Cute.
And I'm the, like, same 8 people like my stories, and I'm always like, hi guys! Hi.
What was the question? What inspired you to start drag?
Harry Bradshaw.
Really? Because yes. You worked together, right?
Yeah, we were coworkers at the escape room, and they talked about it all the time, and I'd always wanted to try. I mean, I've done cosplay performance for years and years before, like, at the same time I do theater, mm-hmm. and so the next step is, like, drag. I mean,
it is a beautiful fusion of them, I feel like.
Right. It's theatric. It's queer performance art.
And there's so much overlap.
Yes,
so it's like,
completely. Yeah. So it seemed like the next logical step was, like, well... Okay, do drag, but do the same thing I've been doing, just like...
May as well get tips for it this time.
Put more effort into the performance than the than I had been. And it was just like another thing that I could do. I just fucking love performing. It's my favorite thing to do in the world. So drag was... It was the next logical step of like, well, I've done everything for drag. May as well kind of scoop it all together and start actually doing, like, drag for the sake of drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
And you're very good at it, so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, before we joined Drag Duels and nobody knew who we were, there was, like, a cosplayer derogatory.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do worry that people, like, see what I'm doing and what I'm making, and they're like, well, that's not drag. And a lot of people do. A lot of people don't think what I do.
And those are opinions, and here's the thing, you're doing it better than them. So, like...
You've made your mark already, you've won a work finale, like, you've proven that you deserve to be on these stages.
Are you on cast for Booked? I forgot.
I am.
Yeah!
I'm really excited, so we had the photo shoot yesterday, work. And, like, everybody in the dressing room is talking, like, you know, I mean, we're all friends, and it's really nice to, for, you know, when everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel that.
It's nice to be... seen and accepted as a member of the community, even though I'm different.
Your difference is what makes you important.
I was like, you have a different background, but that also, yeah, that amplifies your drag. That doesn't hinder it.
No.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know.
Certainly.
Most people's background in drag is like watching RuPaul's Drag Race. So, like, be different. Have a fun background that makes your drag...
Like anti-fracking.
Speaking of anti-fracking,
what's next?
Denzel asked, when is the next workshop?
Oh, it's this Thursday.
This Thursday? Okay, is there another one? Because I'm sure this will not be.
It's every other Thursday from 5 to 7 for people who don't identify as a queen. And the first workshop, you just come and you sit in and you meet everybody and let everybody, like, you know, you talk to everybody, know their pronouns, know their drag, know, like, what they're all about. And then the next time you come, you bring something for show and tell, which is anything that you'd like to present.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, next Thursday, I'm going to be teaching everybody the choreography for Padam Padam.
Yeah, it's a Kings awesome. And Things workshop specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Slay.
Yeah, and it's been really helpful. It's been really validating. I got to show everybody, like, I made for the Breaking Bad number that I did, I made a 4-minute, like... AMV of Your Love Is My Drug by Kesha all Breaking Bad clips.
Was like, when you say AMV,
I'll show it to you guys later. It's one of my favorite things I've ever made because it is stupid, but it also slays.
Work.
But
it also kicks ass.
Work.
I really, really like making stuff that you're like, this shouldn't work, but goddamn, that was fun.
Yeah,
I had a great time. That was so stupid, but I had such a good time during it that I don't even care.
I don't know. Wait, okay, how old are you again?
26. I'm 27 tomorrow.
27. Okay, yeah, so you remember the AMV phase of the internet.
Oh, I was active.
You were there. You were on the front lines. Yes.
I was fighting for my life.
I am and have always been a media consumer. So when I first got on the internet in like 2006, I watched a lot of AMVs, and I'm like, what's this about? It's got Ash Ketchum in it. What is it? And it's like, it's just an AMV of Ash Ketchum to Had a Bad Day by I forget who, and it's just a bunch of screenshots of him being like...
I was way into the Naruto Sasuke ship.
Okay. Yes! Sasunaru! Yes!
Sasunaru was...
You were on the front lines!
Shit!
Period.
I still am, like, actively writing fanfic, and, Bo and I have a full gothic horror romance fanfic for Hannibal.
You co-edit?
Yeah, we wrote it together. He wrote Hannibal, and I wrote Will.
That's love.
And it kicks ass. It's very good. I want to print it and give it to him.
Link in bio? Or something.
Just link look up bio. Just like if you know how to use AO3, just look up Prince Welcome Map. We don't need to link this shit.
AO3 King. AO3 King.
But how graphic is it? What tags? Let's go. Let's go. Let's
I think one of them is like, do not get into a relationship like this, fellas. Like, it's not about a healthy relationship. This it's about a vampire, so.
This is for the narrative. Don't.
Don't. This is sexy in theory.
Real.
Ungrateful Warlock asks, where do you usually do family-friendly shows?
Oh, well, with you guys.
True. A lot of our shows are technically family-friendly.
Honestly, other than swear words, most of my stuff is family-friendly.
Work.
Other than, like, if I deliberately, like, tea for tea. Like, mm-hmm. I deliberately went out of my way to make that as graphic and exaggerated as possible.
That was fucking iconic. Thank you. That was fucking iconic.
Hey there, zipper tits.
Exactly. I don't like to cut people off that have certain triggers or, like, people who are a certain age. Like, I want my drag to be accessible. I tend to be really, really careful. And I also, most of my audience is young. And I love my audience.
Yeah.
I used to call them my kingdom because, like, the prince.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just referring.
You don't like it anymore.
Well, no, I do. But, like, referring to a community of people with a word I made up is weird.
I mean, what if they made it up? Would you be okay with it then?
Yes.
All right, fans, make a new name for the community. Go. Helen Heaven asks, who is your current favorite Blorbo? And you have to explain what a Blorbo is.
Okay, well, Blorbo is, like, you know how people in the drag community have a diva?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, my diva is Mariah Carey. My diva is Britney Spears. My diva is Lady Gaga. Where it's like, you go to her concerts. You follow her music album releases. You
watch
are
all the videos.
Exactly. You like the videos. You participate in the community and like seeing like poster edits and like you analyze the lyrics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, Blorbo is that, but they're fictional. Mm-hmm. And usually they are like, there's a like subsex of Blorbo or like Tumblr Sexy Man, which is like
the one slur.
Exactly. Yeah, the one slur stands under tail. Let's see, Bill from Gravity Falls. I'm sorry.
I hate to ask, but would you define Tumblr Sexy Man? Or is it just kind of indefinable?
Usually it's a little like Tony the Clock from Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. Like, literally, they will take usually a man who looks a little fucked up.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll be like, but he's my man. And then you sexualize the hell out of him.
Well, I mean, it starts as a little guy who's like a cartoon. For example, Bill Cipher, he's exactly a triangle. And then somebody's like, well, I'm going to human him.
I'm going to make him a white man.
I'm going to make him a white man.
And then,
I'm going to make him a white twink. And then I'm going to unbutton it this far.
Or with Sans, you just are like, well, what if skeletons had a dick? And then
it's called boning people. It's not
exactly
an unreasonable conjecture.
It's what was it specifically? The fandom for there's like Overtail and Underfell and like Glitchtail and like there's so many sub fandoms for Undertale. But yeah, back to Blorbo.
Yes,
he is one character that like usually the actor has to do with it. And most Blorbos I say are men, but you can have a Blorbo who's like a girl. That's okay. Totally fine and accepted in the community. But like, the back to like the word is essentially like Blorbo from my shows, which is just like this special character to me. So my Blorbo right now, and Helen knows the answer to this. It's Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah.
But like, I know so much about this character that, like, they... But the nice thing about Breaking Bad is they put things into subtext.
Mm.
Like, there's a 3-minute minisode where you learn that he is in an emo punk thrash band called Twat Hammer, where he plays the drums. And they have an entire fake music video for it. Very 2005-esque.
Love.
That, he also wears, like, anime t-shirts all the time. He has anime posters in his bedroom. Like, you just like and appreciate a character down to what the directors and people put into like the subtext.
Yes. And, okay, yeah. That's an important one.
Yeah, and then the actor, I am very like I'm engaging with Aaron Paul content right now. He was just in an episode of Black Mirror that released last week, and everybody's like, have you seen this episode of Black Mirror? And I was like, yes, 28 minutes after it aired. Absolutely, I saw it. It was mid, but it's Black Mirror. Aaron Paul did fine, but it's Black Mirror. So it was like, wow, that was kind of stupid, but I don't know what I expected. But yeah, that's right now. My other blorbos have been The Riddler, specifically from 2022, Batman, starring Robert Pattinson and Paul Dano. Castiel from Supernatural.
Of course. If you are a... if you're a queer, nerdy man, you have kinned Castiel
Supernatural. Is Castiel...
No. She has not watched Supernatural. I was talking about myself. Anyways, yeah.
I have no knowledge of any of this, so I'm just admiring the view.
Yeah, Bo says the same thing. I bring him up, and he's like, not this guy.
Not this guy, yeah.
I'm like, listen, you didn't know me in 2014, where I went to, like, the creation cons. I once went to one of the conventions for Supernatural. I dressed as steampunk Castiel. I had, like, a set of wooden wings and everything. I won the Castiel cosplay contest.
Oh,
the prize for that was you got $250 to spend at the con. And then you got to meet Misha Collins. But Misha Collins got mugged the day I was there, like 2 hours before I won.
Oh my God.
Beat up in an alleyway.
Oh, my God.
And couldn't come to the con. So I didn't get to meet him.
Well, Misha Collins, if you're watching this, if you're a longtime fan...
That's my villain origin story.
There's a poor boy that never got to meet you here in our studio.
I actually used the $250 like gift card, and I went to the merch hall, and I stood like at the end of the line for the like people could buy pictures, and I used my gift card for like people in the line, and I didn't get anything for myself.
Aww. Mm-hmm. You're like, if I had shitty day, at least I can make somebody else's day better.
And he runs this charity called Random Acts, which it's all about random acts of kindness. And so I figured that is something that he would do.
I was going to say Misha Collins is very much philanthropic.
I look up to him a lot. I know far too much lore about them. I mean, he was one of my blorbos. So
he was one of your blorbos.
I literally know everything about Misha Collins.
There you go.
This episode of the Dragging with a Spoon podcast is sponsored by Stoned Crazy. Stone Crazy is your Minneapolis-based supplier of rhinestones, pearls, and other costume embellishments. Stone Crazy has everything you need to make your costumes even draggier. Rhinestones, pearls, fringe, sequin fringe, and more. Shop now online at stonecrazymn.com and use code DRAGSPOON for 15% off your order. Big thank you to Stone Crazy for sponsoring the podcast.
That's
dementia.
Yes. What are things you wish venues had to make drag more accessible?
Oh boy.
I know, that's a loaded question.
Well, it's a big one. A lot of buildings in the Twin Cities are not ADA compliant.
Correct.
So, technically, if I were to be an ass, I could sue the fuck out of them. But I don't want the paper trail. And I don't want to sit in a bunch of offices. Like, I'm not good at that.
Surprisingly, the venue that's the most compliant is the Gay 90s.
Yeah.
They got an elevator, they got ramps.
Exactly.
They
got everything that you need in there. Also, Lush.
I was going to say Lush. Although they do have that one lip as you're going into the theater, right? Or do they have a ramp there?
They have a ramp.
Oh, okay, good.
In the back, they have a stairway on one end and a ramp on the other end. Yep. And then to get in, there are other, like, entrances and stuff like that. Also... but the Blackheart, not accessible. Like, nobody, if you can't walk upstairs, you can't, like, you will have a hard time performing at the Saloon because they can create accommodations for you, but they're not accommodations.
Even if you're not in a wheelchair, like, if you have a crutch or something,
no, seriously.
These are stairs that are this steep,
like,
and are hard to walk in heels, so it's, like, barely accessible for the queens.
Well,
like,
and people who walk with canes, and, like, people who have, and stuff like that. It's very frustrating to even get into the building, much less perform there. And then when you, like, perform at breweries, they stick you in a closet.
Yeah.
And if you have mobility issues, you can't just stand in a closet to get ready. That you can't, like, that's not something you should be expected to do.
I will say, like, would it kill them to push the kegs up against the wall? Would it kill them to, like, get a forklift, lift the pallet up, move it in the back?
Yeah.
Put some boxes in different places. Like,
expect performers and accommodate for the space they might need.
Yeah.
Right. And also don't treat people's mobility aids like they're hindering them, because mm-hmm. that is the one thing that helps them the most.
Exactly.
Primordial Chaos got a note in their, I'm sorry for like dropping your beef like this, but I'm still so angry about it because my entire house was like, you know, what our chat was like on fire when this happened. But for one of their, like for their performance note, it said, "Don't let your wheelchair hold you back from doing what you love," which is so blindly insensitive.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Like, it means like you must hate your wheelchair because it keeps you from walking, like, you know, that kind of thing, which is just stupid. So have you ever fucking talked to somebody with a mobility aid?
Yeah.
That is, they take a lot of pride in having them, first of all. Most of them have, like, names. Too. You know, you glue shit to them so they're really pretty. You use them as props, but, like,
it's an extension of the self.
It is an extension of the self. It's a third leg. Yeah. You know, and so, just, like, the attitude towards mobility aids, they shouldn't, like, you, that's an accessory. That that adds to what you have to offer.
Yeah.
And like, well, every single person in my house is disabled mm-hmm. in some way. We're all disabled, we're all autistic, and we're all trans. And we're all cosplayers. So like, that's kind of, well, just being ADA compliant is a great first step.
It's a great start. Yeah.
To build an elevator would cost, you know, such and such money or whatever, but it's like, we know how much money you're making. You just don't want to spend it.
Yeah.
Certain venues recently spent about $10,000 on new lights.
Yeah.
And so it's like, they have the money. They're choosing not to invest in that. Well, they're choosing to invest in other things.
Right, and it just shows a lot of, well, when, because I'm Primordial Chaos, I'm his PCA. So I also, like, I'm a butler for a guy in a wheelchair, for a person who needs different accommodations, and the more you spend around people who need accommodations that aren't I can run, essentially, the world is so closed off to people, just because, number one, they aren't seen, which is not their fault. Like, how are they supposed to get into venues and be seen if you lock them out?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I am so, like, I encourage the people on my team and my family to perform, like, with mobility aids, because they need to be seen. That part of you should not be hidden away. You don't need to pretend like you don't have different needs than other people. Yeah. Because, well, it's like what I kind of said earlier. As soon as people see somebody like them, they want to be themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, be a little different. Need what you need and show that you use it proudly.
Mm-hmm.
But when venues just cut you off, and they're like, well, we don't see you, so we don't think about you. And because we don't think about you, because we don't know you, because, you know, these judges have obviously never had a friend with a mobility issue before. They don't even know how to talk to them.
Yeah.
You don't get progress.
Yeah.
And so the only way to have progress is to be as loud about being yourself as you possibly can.
Yeah.
But it's limiting. Because when people aren't listening and you need to tell them to listen, you know, that's the first battle, is getting people to listen. And then it's getting people to act. And
it's a long process.
Mm-hmm.
Literally hurting cats.
But we're on it. We're working. Good. All you can do is keep moving forward.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just keep swimming.
Exactly.
Just keep swimming. Oh, don't make me sing. Just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim! Swim. Anyways. Sorry.
Swim.
Well, our final question comes from Carino, and she asks, what are we panicking about?
I like to call it when you don't have... Lots of people say, like, I look like I'm giving them panic when I'm on a stage because I'm very fast.
Uh-huh.
But I also, like, if you are in a show and somebody drops out 2 hours before your show, then you press the panic button. And then I
give And you're there.
And I'm there. I'll give you a panic attack.
I was going to say, in Drag Duels, you were one of the guest performances kind of in a flash, too, right?
Yeah,
for
season
two,
a lot.
I think we had
we
had
to
be there a lot.
It was a lot of, like, panic, can you please? And I'd be like, yes.
I'm there.
I'm, like, actively at work and being like, yeah, I can scrape together an entire Zodiac-themed presentation.
I was
going to
say, you came in this little crab hat,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's ready.
He's ready. That was really fun, too. I mean, I just love performing, so... Anytime that anybody's willing to, like, let me fill in. Mm-hmm. I hop to it.
So this is our favorite portion of the show. This is the quick tips of drag. Hell what yeah. are three quick tips you would give to any performer, new or experienced, that you have learned that you think is really important or neat?
Wear deodorant.
Wear deodorant.
Yeah! Real!
Yeah.
Take a shower. No.
I mean, yeah. You That's can't, a part of it.
Don't, wigs need to be styled. You can't just take a wig out of the bag and cut the lace off and then put it on. Mm-hmm. Because it will look like a factory printed it onto your head.
Yeah.
And it's fine in a flash, but I
Maybe
always...
Maybe brush it even. Just brush it a little.
Or, like, steam it. I just, like, you guys know. Like, yeah. caretaking of wigs is something that will elevate your performance.
After every show, you clean the lace a little bit, get some isopropyl on a toothbrush, just
right.
get the old adhesive off.
Mm-hmm.
I've been taking about 2 weeks to fix somebody's wig because it just has so much adhesive on it. Just
wow.
like after every performance, just scrub, paper towel, wipe it off.
Right. Or like build something into it like hooks where you don't have to glue it.
Question. When the battery died. Hello.
Hello.
Bye.
So you were in the second tip was take care of your wigs.
Take care of your wigs. Yes.
Take care of your wigs. Try to maintain them before you put them on. A little bit.
A little bit.
Make them a little more special than
Unless,
they are out of the bag.
Like, some queens really like comb back units that mm-hmm. are all the way down the back. And that,
like
I feel
human.
Like, it's fine to put on because you don't want to tangle it and you don't want to, like, a human unit. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
that's super, super long and fine.
But there's
if you just
want to
put that,
that
on after you snip it with the scissors, whatever. But, like, cosplay wigs, especially.
Oh, Divalicious.
It's
oh,
not going to look like the website. You got to make it look like that.
Yeah.
And so many baby cosplayers will be like, and we're done.
And we're done.
Like, babe, you got to put some hairspray on it or something.
Or, like,
something.
They don't even put a mug on. I've, like,
no.
looked, I, like, I've dabbled. I'd like to say I've dabbled. I've more of, like, lived vicariously by wanting to do cosplay before. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this character. I'm going to look up this cosplay. So I look up people, and it's like somebody, they look very sweaty because they've been walking around all day, and they're in a flat wig that's, like, flyaways in their face. And I'm like, oh, diva.
You know, if
oh,
you're
diva.
Having fun, fine. But
yeah.
I do look at you, and I'm like, what?
Or, like, when they make, like, this intricate outfit, the most beautiful garment,
yes.
flat wig, no makeup.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's like,
why?
You're doing a disservice to your beautiful
yeah.
costume.
You may as well
made.
Put a mannequin on a rollers and then put the outfit on that.
Right.
Like,
so, like, yeah, cosplay wigs are not, they don't look like they do on the website.
Nope.
You're going to have to do something to it. And then drag wigs, unless you are going for something very specific, you're going to need to do something to that wig as well.
Yeah.
I don't mean this stuff. This stuff is awesome and takes multiple hours and years of experience.
Yeah.
Tutorials available on Fruity Wigs TikTok. More coming soon, I promise. Mean it. Anyways.
You know, more being like if you text her and are like, how do I do this? And she invoices you for $30 and then tells
I won't I don't charge for advice. I charge for wigs.
Really? I think you should charge your advice, but, you know, start a Patreon or something.
It's a it's a consultation. Ooh.
Ooh. that works. Yeah.
And what's your third rule?
Yeah.
Or it's a rule. Quick tip.
I recently learned, probably in the last year, that powder makes you less sweaty.
Yeah.
And so if you put a bunch of powder on the places that you sweat the most, you won't have a glossy sheen at the end of your performance. Unless there are some people I know that are just like, nope.
Chronic sweaters.
I will be sweaty. That is just part of who I am. But me,
mm-hmm.
once I put on powder, I was like, suddenly I don't glisten.
Real. I was going to say just not baking necessarily, but just like putting your base on and then suddenly, and then like powder the whole day.
Right. Time. I just used to put foundation on and then like,
right. Well, I mean, because that's natural makeup. And so, like, you know, it's the draggy part of it is like, all right, I'm going to be bucking, kicking, and dancing, and sweating.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so, boom, 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 boom.
Exactly.
And so, and then you add the dimension back in.
Yeah.
Once it's all gone.
I also, taking time with your makeup, like, don't, like, not even don't, just, like, my best advice would be do your base makeup before you get to a venue. If you have, like, the time and the resources.
Because mm-hmm.
I used to just do all of my makeup at the venue in the hour before the show.
Oh, my.
Fast.
Half the venues have bad lighting too, so I like.
Oh. Except for the saloon in those six mirrors. Yeah. Those six mirrors, or five mirrors.
Four, I think.
No, because there's two. The two on that wall and there's the three on this wall.
Either way.
Anyways.
There's two, one.
Four. And then the other ones that are missing lights half the time.
Those are not very helpful. No. I use a lot of just handheld mirrors, honestly, smart. To do mine. But no, I just, like, I've found that, I mean, makeup looks better when you spend more time on it.
It's
but,
true.
Like, you also have, like, time to make mistakes. Unless, you know, for, especially, like, your base is really important. Like,
I was going to say, today, we took 2 hours.
We?
I took 2 hours. Miss Ma'am never takes more than an hour. Sometimes I will, like, I'll be like, oh, no, I fucked up. And so I go back in. These are minor details, mind you. Like, it's the white line beneath my eye. Or in this case, it was I blinked, and then my eyeliner went all the way up here on my cut crease.
No, I hate that.
And so, yeah, just took another 15 minutes to make a wipe. All right, that's gone. And now we add more concealer there. And now we powder. And now we're fine. And, yeah. It was a couple of those mistakes today. But yes, give yourself way more time. That makes so much... Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Like, drag is a full day activity.
Yup.
Unless you have a day job, and then it is... You spend a lot of time thinking about it.
Yeah.
At your job. But yeah, I don't know. I just was always like, I don't want to spend that much time on it. But it really does pay off when you sink your time and effort into your face.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I like this face.
Thank you very much.
How much time did this take you?
Oh, probably about an hour, but I was like totally focused. But when I were listening to a podcast, like...
Slay.
It was nice. I also did this makeup yesterday in a different color. Work. So I did the same makeup I did yesterday, but like with a couple, like I added a couple extra more sharper angles.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to, when I have like just one costume, because when I don't, when I have multiple costumes, I do black lines.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have a lot of my costumes are solid colors, mm-hmm. or like one color with, you know, added like stuff like that. So I like to have that color be built into most of my lines, but if I'm doing three songs, then my lines are going to be black, and that usually takes less time.
Nice.
Real.
Because it's just black, but like this is white with green on top, and then white on top of that, and then black on top of that.
So. I was gonna say, I feel like everybody's got their quick face, and then they've got like their, and they're like, I'm gonna look tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I was so excited when you asked.
Of course. And where can people find you? Social media handles, casts, like, what are you... Where can people find you?
Well, I am going to Anime Iowa at the end of this month. I'm bringing my troupe, and we are doing an arcane theme, along with... Dressing as characters from Breaking Bad. Whoa.
Who
could have known? I am hosting their cosplay competition and leading a couple of panels at that convention. So that's where I'll be at the end of the month. Otherwise, I am in your show on Thursday.
Whee!
But I don't know when this will air. So I was in one show with them once, I guess.
Rio.
And then I'm in a show in White Bear Lake on the 9th. And I'm in... dragged out on the 21st, and I'm in booked now at the saloon. It's the fourth Friday of every month. My birthday's tomorrow, so you have to be nice to me.
Happy Cancer season.
And what is your social media handle?
Yes.
Your
Prince media. Welcome Matt on Prince everything. Otherwise, if you just Google Pippin Panic, I come up, which is nice.
Never hits.
I'm a Google result, but if you put Prince Welcome Matt into Google, it says Prince Welcome Matt, what happened? Prince Welcome Matt, divorce.
Cringe.
Prince Welcome Matt, cringe.
Wow! Never Google yourself.
Well, you know.
And that's the fourth tip.
Yes.
Never Google yourself. Yeah. You will find. There's like one video out there that's like, is it a boy or a girl? Prince Welcome Matt cringe compilation. And it is a screen recording of like an hour of just my content. Scrolling through it.
Wow. No. Now here's on that note, like, there's no such thing as bad press. People are obsessed, and that's a good thing. Bullying's not great.
I don't like it when people call me they/them pronouns, but when they are confused and angry about it, that's funny.
Remember, you're not queer if you're not infuriating someone.
Exactly.
Well, all right. Thank you so much. Make sure to subscribe as we bring this podcast back to you every 2 weeks now. We're on a regular schedule, so check us every other Tuesday.
A big thank you to Prince Rocco Matt himself.
I was gonna say, editing
Panic for editing this episode and being our guest.
I will.
And until... This is, do you know the sign for Panic?
No.
No.
So you make a P with your hand. This is P, so both of them.
Thumb and... Oh, this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes.
And then you go... It's panic, baby.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye.